This week, we're going to be talking about gender and a newly released book on the topic for parents. So stay tuned on the Unapologetic Podcast. This week, I am pleased to welcome my friend Hunter Levine to the podcast. And we have just written and have released a book on gender for parents. So Hunter, welcome.
Yeah, thank you, Brian. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Could you tell us a little about yourself, who you are, what you do, how you got here?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks, Brian. I'm the student director at City Church Tallahassee. I'm also married to the kids director at City Church as well. So my household's life kind of revolves around the next generation of people within the church. So
nice. So how did you get involved with City Church?
Yeah, so I actually got invited by a friend when I was 16 years old, so I didn't grow up in a church necessarily. We were kind of in and out. My family moved around a little bit, and by the time I was in middle school, we had pretty much given up on going to church altogether. Friend reached out to me, invited me at 16 years old. It was a church plant, about 100 people, and I've been there the past 8 years, seen it grow to, we just had our Easter service last week, and that was about 5,000 people.
Awesome. So you came to church, grew up in the church, and now you work at the church.
Yes. So it's kind of an interesting scenario to be working in youth ministry. I always joke and tell our parents that the youth ministry when I first got involved at City Church is actually me pretending to be a college student with like two friends. We're the only high schoolers in a church plant. And then not really participating in kids ministry, and now I'm married to a kids minister. So it's kind of an interesting thing to be a part of now, kind of in retrospect.
Nice. Okay. And so you and I have written a book on gender, is that correct?
Yep.
Okay. And it's part of a series called Building Foundations. And so could you tell us about the series and the book, just kind of at a high level?
Yeah, let's start off with the idea behind the series. And that's that over the course of a child's life, it's important to build biblical foundations for them. That's what they're going to kind of live off of the rest of their life, hopefully. And so as parents are working with their children, the idea is how can we strategically try to teach them God's word as they grow up? And also, how can we do that and be proactive? So if you think about the idea of a foundation, you want to be really proactive. You want to do it well the first time. Because if you don't do well laying the foundation, then you have to go back to it. It's going to be costly. It's going to take time. It's going to be confusing. And so one of the things that we're really passionate about, especially at City Church, and this is a resource created for City Church first and foremost to help our families, and that is to help parents lay the best foundation they can as they disciple their children in God's word.
Okay, nice. And so how does the gender part of this series come into play with that?
Yeah, I think it's really an important topic. Obviously, it's starting to be talked about more and more on the news. And 30 years ago, it probably wasn't something that people even thought about. And I think that was because mostly culture would reinforce what scripture would say when it comes to gender. And so parents, I don't think, had to be as proactive. They didn't think they had to be as intentional when it came to teaching their children about gender, because what they were going to see on TV and what they were going to experience throughout their life and in the desk next to them, right, is going to reinforce kind of what the Bible teaches. But now we live in a world where that's not necessarily the case. What they see on TV and hear in music and, you know, kind of hear on the playground is going to be completely different in a lot of ways than what scripture teaches. And so we believe this is kind of an issue that's kind of new to our generation that we're having to tackle. And so we kind of wanted to take this and say, look, there's not a lot of resources out there for families on this. This is something that's quickly growing. You hear about it in the news all the time, legislation starting to talk more and more about it. And let's bring God's timeless truth to this current day issue and really try to help parents lead their children through it well.
Yeah, and that does seem to be an interesting challenge. As time goes on and we get further and further away from when scripture was written, we have more and more challenges. And as you look back at church history, it's interesting that at certain points, the church started talking about things, and it's not like they were new, but it was a response to culture and changing traditions around them. And so parenting's a tough job today, where there are constantly more ways that biblical foundations are being threatened in what you're trying to teach your children. And so our goal here, I think it's fair to say, is to help give parents a resource, right? So could you talk a little bit about how this is a resource, but also talk about what it's not?
Yeah. Well, the first and foremost, this is not a book to tell parents how to parent. Mm. This is a book to help parents parent well. And so this is not us trying to be experts and tell parents how to do their job. This is us trying to be a supplement and a support to what they're doing in their homes. And at the end of the day, we work with hundreds of families at City Church. You're busy running from one soccer practice to the ballet to an SGA meeting to make dinner. You know, you're so busy and you're doing the work of discipling your children. You're spending a lot of time with them. But what we want to do is not come in and try to tell you how to be a parent. We just want to help you as you try to do that in your home. And so this book, what it is a support. What it's not is some sort of manual on how to parent. It's also not some sort of encyclopedia on every single issue around gender. That would take multiple volumes. But what this is just a simple, quick read to help parents think through how are they going to teach their children about what God's word says about gender from the moment that they first start kind of crawling around on the ground to the moment that they're wearing a graduation hat. And there's even some helpful resources too for parents as they kind of interact in their world as adults too with gender as well.
Okay, great. Yeah, and so the series is called Building Foundations, and you and I have kind of broken a child's development, just like you said, from crawling around to graduation into three different foundational ages. And so could you talk about what those three are?
Yeah, the first foundation is basically what you could imagine leading up to elementary school. The second foundation is elementary school. There's a lot of things that happen. Like I said, my wife's a kids director, and so she works with this entire spectrum. And there's so much that happens between first grade and fifth grade. It's just incredible. So that gets its own foundation. And then we have middle school and high school kind of lumped together. And so that's the third foundation. And then part two of the book, that's actually what we call for adults. And that's just some helpful resources to think through how they're handling different things, whether they're sitting in a parent-teacher meeting or whether they're talking to someone in a bleacher next to them. How are they going to handle this issue as well? And so we kind of break the foundations up that way, but we really encourage parents, no matter what age their children are, to read through it all the way. And just to think about how are they going to make sure that this is laid in a way that is strategic, in a way that's helpful for their children to understand the more complex issues around it. So just kind of start at the basics. Who is God? What has he done? How does his creation work? And then kind of build from there.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah, and you weren't kidding when you said it's a quick read. I mean, this is a small book. Calling it a book might even push it a little, right? I mean, it's got a cover and pages and a binding, but it's more of a booklet. It's under 100 pages. It's designed so that, let's say you've got 10 minutes and you're waiting in the line to pick up your kid at school, you can read a chapter. Or if it's, you know, between innings at a baseball game or at practice, you can read this book. It's not designed for people who are prolific readers. It's designed for the everyday person, which goes back to, as Hunter said, us wanting to equip everyday parents to do the very important everyday work of discipleship. So why did we write this book? Why this book? Why now?
Yeah. Well, one, I think it's an incredibly important topic that's coming up more and more today. So if you turned on the news this morning and you watched it for longer than 30 minutes, there's a good chance that you heard something around this area or this idea of gender. And so you see a lot of things happening in legislation. You see a lot of talks on television about it. And at the same time, although there's millions and millions of books on Amazon, there's not a lot of books out there on this topic. And there certainly aren't a lot of books to help parents on this topic. And so this book is rooted in scripture, but it's a strategic approach to how to teach that scripture. And so we felt like, man, this is a really important issue for students to understand, for children to understand. And at the same time, we felt like there's probably a huge need out there when it comes to parents trying to handle this, because it wasn't, just like I said earlier, it wasn't something they had to think about 30 years ago, really. It just kind of naturally happened. It was naturally taught and reinforced. And so that's really why we chose to write this book, just to really try to help parents teach this well. And then just also to think about the major issue isn't just an issue around gender. It's really an issue around scripture. And so when it comes down to it, there's not just this concern that your child might have a confused idea about what gender is and what scripture teaches, but actually a confused idea about what scripture's role in our life. Mm. Is scripture authoritative? Is scripture the place that we go to understand things in this world? And I believe, yes, it is. But as a parent, you have to understand, we have to understand together that we have to teach the way that scripture interacts and kind of shapes our lives. And this is a huge example of basically where we're not just talking about gender, we're talking about scripture, because God's word, especially if you read through the book, you can tell God's word is very clear what he believes about gender. But at the same time, this is one of those areas that we have to make a stance and say, are we going to go with God's word or are we going to go with what culture is telling us? And so that's kind of the bigger issue behind the book.
Okay. Yeah. And it was interesting to me in writing this that looking at our culture today, they make this issue of gender seem very complicated. Right, you might not even have a perspective that's valid if you're a certain gender or you identify as a certain gender, and you have feminists and transgender activists, and then there's homosexuality, and everyone has their unique input on this, or so they say, and a Christian can be left saying, well, okay, what's the truth? Like, this seems really complicated. How do I address all these different concerns? And while I wasn't gender confused coming into this, I want to be clear about that. I did think, like, gosh, how are we going to address all of this? But what you said is exactly true. When you go to God's word, you see it's not complicated at all. This is actually remarkably simple. Now, how we take these truths and translate them into conversations with different parties, that may be somewhat difficult. But how we train our children up to believe the foundational principles in Scripture is actually remarkably simple if we just take the time to do it.
I love that. It's also kind of what you said. Look, hey, God's word's not complicated. What complicates it oftentimes is us and our lack of willingness to be obedient to it. And as pressure continues to increase and increase and increase, I think there's more and more pressure to leave faithfulness to God's word. And so oftentimes the complication has nothing to do with
the Bible, yeah.
The Bible, and everything to do with the sinful people reading it, you and I. So I think this will be a helpful resource to navigate those waters in this topic.
Yeah, and I just want to underscore something you said a minute ago. From you and my perspective, the concern is not that most children are going to struggle with gender identity. Now, I do think most people will struggle with some form of identity issue, which we do kind of touch on in the book. But the issue isn't that they're going to be transgender. The issue is that this might be the issue that's the wedge between them and Scripture. And it's interesting, we've seen this on homosexuality, where when a Christian child or even just person has a relationship with someone who, let's say, is same-sex attracted, identifies that way, or someone who is transgender, it's very easy for that relational component to sway them to change their mind about what the Bible says. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, I couldn't agree with that more. And the tenseness around this issue with the idea that loving people doesn't mean always affirming what they're doing. And I think that's one of the issues, too, that kind of makes all of this so challenging for parents, is that affirmation and love are not, you know, synonyms for one another.
Yeah.
You can love people and at the same time not affirm their thoughts, not affirm what they believe. And I do think that for the Christian that's trying to follow Christ faithfully, they have to get to the place where they're willing to say, hey, look, I love my friends and family who are struggling with this, but at the same time, I'm going to show them love, and I am going to love them. And at the same time, I'm not going to necessarily affirm everything they believe and everything they say. And I think that's also kind of something to get thrown into that mix to think about and consider too.
Yeah, that's a great point. And speaking of love, you have said in the past, just us two, you know, kind of sitting on the porch talking, that type of thing, that you think the church lost kind of the sounds maybe too dramatic, but the war around the word love. And could you, if you know what I mean, could you talk about that?
Yeah, so this really occurred to me last year at the Super Bowl when Coldplay, and I lived with a bunch of musicians in college that just obsess over Coldplay, but Coldplay did this huge, incredible halftime performance, and then they had this kind of huge display in the stands that said love. And a lot of times in our culture, what's happened with the word love is that people have kind of taken that to believe that you'll never disagree with people, that you'll just love and accept and affirm everything they think and they say and they believe. Now, the exception would be if you disagree with them, right? Because if you disagree with them about something, then all of a sudden you're hateful, you're bigoted, they don't like you, they think that you don't like them. But this idea of love kind of being this huge kind of catch-all of we're just going to accept and affirm everything. And I think a lot of times in the church, we kind of act that way too, where we haven't done a good job of explaining that sometimes out of love, you have to stand firm in God's truth. And somewhere along the lines within the past few decades, I really think that we've lost touch in a lot of churches with that we, yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, for God so loved the world. Absolutely. But at the same time, Jesus was very firm in what God's word says. Jesus did offend people with the truth. And one of the most loving things that you can do, if not the most loving thing that you can do to somebody, is to tell them the truth and point them to God. And so I think somewhere along the way, we kind of got caught up in this kind of Super Bowl halftime vague idea of love rather than the love that's shown in Scripture, which is very kind of truth-focused, is very Christ-centered, is very concerned about God himself and not just about making people feel well about themselves. And so I think that's a big issue too, that kind of plays into all of this.
Okay. So you're kind of saying that the church uses the word love, doesn't define it well. Culture uses the word love. And so our students, or even the people are maybe our church students are talking with at school, they're like, oh, they're saying the same thing. They're using the same words. Is that kind of the issue you're hitting on there?
Yeah, absolutely. That we have to define the term. I mean, we really, as crazy as it sounds, everybody thinks they know what love means. The 12-year-old buying his girlfriend a teddy bear and the man married for 50 years. And, you know, everyone thinks they know what love is, but a lot of people have different definitions for what love is. And they definitely have different ideas about what love lived out looks like. And I think that's a huge kind of component to the issue that we see here, is that I think a lot of people are afraid that if they disagree, they're going to come off as unloving. And how weak of a view of love is that? If we can't disagree on something, if we can't, and also at the same time, we should disagree on things and try to seek to figure out what the real truth is. That seems like something that if I love someone and care for them and they love me and care for me, that we should both care that we get it right, that we understand it. And so, yeah, that's definitely a big kind of hot topic issue that's talked about throughout the book as well.
Okay. And I want to highlight one thing you said as we wrap this up. You said a lot of times, even in the church, we don't have kind of a Christ-centered definition of love. And what that brings us to is in this book where we're writing about gender and the concerns about it, we do make the point, and this is an incredibly important point, which oftentimes Christians, you and myself included, probably miss at times, which is, any specific issue is not the biggest issue here. A person's struggle with gender identity or same-sex attraction or lying or gossip is not the biggest issue. And so what is the biggest issue and how do we address that in the book?
Yeah, I think the biggest issue is the same no matter what you're struggling with that area. And that's that we are people who desperately need the gospel. We need to understand that we're not perfect people, that we do make mistakes, that we don't always get things right, that we have offended God, that we've rebelled against God, that we need Jesus to stand in our place with his perfection and to take on our punishment, and that we need to repent and believe, and not just believe that Jesus loved us, and not just believe that Jesus was the Savior, but believe that the work of God throughout all of history and redemption is true, and that he's given us his word for a purpose. And that purpose is so that we can better know him, that we can better love and glorify him. And I think that we need to make sure that we're understanding that if we're going to believe in Christ, if we're really going to live that out in our lives, that it is going to interfere with our lives. And that's something my pastor at City Church says all the time, that following Jesus interferes with our life. And the biggest issue is if we believe that Jesus is who he really says he is, we're going to be okay with if our neighbor thinks differently of us. We're going to be okay with if we're a little controversial on our view of gender. We're going to be okay if our, you know, relatives disagree with us. Right. That's okay because of what we believe to be true in the gospel. And once again, just to go back, it's not confusing. It's not challenging because of what God's word says. It's not challenging because of our lack to be able to understand what it teaches. It's very clear. It's challenging because we're sinful people who struggle to follow Jesus in obedience. And I think that really that's at the heart of my life and at the heart of, you know, every believer's life, that that's what we're wrestling with is, okay, if I believe the gospel, that has demands on my life and I'm going to live it out, you know? And so really, I think that's the heart of the issue.
Awesome. Well, Hunter, I just want to say in front of everyone who's listening, it was a pleasure working on this with you. I feel like the project is definitely better off for the two of us doing it together. And we're looking to write more of these. We haven't totally settled on topics, but Building Foundations is going to be a series. But at least for now, the Gender Conversation Guide is out. So where can people get it?
Yeah, you can get it on Amazon, where all books are found. So,
and we've got it for print, and we've got it for Kindle. If you are a church or a ministry, and you would like to bulk order these to maybe give to your parents or sell in your bookstore, feel free to drop us an email or use the contact form on my website, and we would love to work out those details with you. We wrote this first and foremost, as Hunter said, to be a resource for our church, but also for the church. And so we hope you get the book. We hope it is helpful as you disciple your children. We hope it's helpful for you too as you navigate these conversations with perhaps people on your PTA board or sports teams. And so it's been a great time talking with you, Hunter. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Brian.
And I'll talk with you all next week on Unapologetic.